This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views conveyed by the guest on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information shared by the guests on this program are those of the guests and are for informational purposes only. They should not replace the medical advice of your veterinarian.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This week, as we celebrate our 20-year anniversary, we are sharing what you should know about summer plant safety for your pets and helpful tips from a seasoned and special puppy mom. That's what's on our show this week. Let's get started.
Come here, babies. It's time for a treat. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves. Thank you for joining us today as we bring you the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the doggydiva.com. We love hearing from you, so go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
How many of you have pets? My hand's raised. Now think about how lucky you are to have such a sweet little pet in your life, and that pet is lucky to have you too. But unfortunately, there are countless pets out there that don't have a home to call their own. However, Bob's from Skechers is trying to change that. So we developed Bob's for Dogs and Cats to help pets in need. With every purchase of adorable Bob's footwear or fun, stylish apparel, or even the cutest Bob's pet accessories, Skechers makes a donation to Petco Love to help save shelter pets. And with your help, we've already saved the lives of over 1 million pets and raised over $7 million. So while you're getting style and comfort with features like Skechers' famous memory foam cushioning, you're also helping to save an adorable pet in need and helping another lucky owner be connected with a future best friend and companion. Because happiness is having a loving pet by your side. Find Bob's at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, select Petco locations, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. With us today is Monica Layton, president of Professional Pet Sitting, with our pet tip of the week. Hey, Monica.
Good morning.
Well, summer's here. Our pets are out and about in the yard. And though the fauna and the flora is really pretty, some can be pretty dangerous for our pets. Can you tell us a little bit about summer toxins?
Absolutely. So summer brings all the fun activities and some great weather, but it also brings a couple of things that aren't so great for our pets. Most of us, myself included, love the beach and trails, but certain things along the way can actually be really detrimental for our pets. First thing that I wanted to talk about was saltwater toxicity. So there's a couple of things in regards to the beach that can be issues. Saltwater toxicity is very common around this time of the year. Bringing in a large amount can lead to hyperthermia, could be salt poisoning, vomiting, diarrhea. Signs of saltwater toxicity can include seizures, depression. Definitely, you know, making sure that when you're at the beach and you're doing those fun things, that your pet is not ingesting the salt water, bringing your own water with, making sure that they're not, you know, inhaling a large amount of that. Another thing in summer months that is a big thing is mushrooms. So mushrooms grow a lot in the summer, and a lot of those can be benign, but there are, you know, some that can definitely be issues and be poisonous for our pets. The majority of mushrooms are, you know, non-toxic, and most of the issues that come with them are gastric irritants. So you're talking about like GI issues, upset stomach, vomiting, loose stools, things of that nature. However, some mushrooms can be an issue. So making sure that your pet is not getting into mushrooms, some of the issues that can be caused by certain types of mushrooms, besides being irritants, it can lead to abdominal pain, ataxia, depression, tremors, even seizures, as well as liver and renal damage. So generally, rule of thumb, stay away from all mushrooms, making sure that your pets are really good about not picking things up, keeping an eye on where you're walking, and making sure that they're not in an area that is going to be growing a lot of mushrooms that they can easily grab off the ground. Another one that's during this time of the year that's a big one are tomato plants. So a lot of people, you know, will grow their own tomatoes and things, but tomato plants are in the nightshade family, and they contain something called tomatine. It's found in concentrations. It's about 5% in the leafy greens, the fruit blossoms, and the small green tomatoes. And this concentration rapidly decreases as the tomato ripens. When the stems, the vines, the green fruit are ingested, it can become an issue for our pets. Some of the signs of issues with that can include gastrointestinal irritation and even ataxia and weakness. Being cautious if you're growing your own plants, you have your own, you know, little garden, you know, being cautious of the tomato plants. Rhubarb leaves can be an issue as well for our pets. They can be an issue as far as GI irritation. It can also result in oral issues in the mouth, as well as vomiting and diarrhea. During the summer months, we also get blooms, depending on where you're located, of that blue-green algae. Blue-green algae can be found in freshwater and saltwater throughout any warm region in the world. But it becomes concerning when it accumulates on the top of the surface of hot water, usually, you know, dry weather, wind, it shifts around and it just mats on top of the water. This affected water, it looks almost pea soup-like on the top with the thick layers of, you know, kind of the algae on there. That blue-green allergy contains, they're called hepatotoxins and neurotoxins, depending on the exact species of the blue-green allergy that's out there. But it can cause some serious issues in our pets. Lethargy, tremors, seizures, respiratory distress. They've even had pets, you know, that unfortunately have passed, you know, due to the blue-green allergy toxicity. So being really careful about that. And of course, you know, as we get closer to 4th of July, we usually talk about our fireworks, things of that nature, but making sure that, you know, any activity that we're doing in those summer months, that we stay safe with our pets. And that also includes like our insecticides. We have a lot more of slug and snail baits during that time of the year that can be issues. Also, mole and gopher baits is a real common one that pets get into. That level definitely goes up during summer months, as well, of course, as our flea and tick product toxicities. So always making sure that you're checking your boxes, you're checking with your vet, and especially if you're putting things around for rodents and things like that, making sure that you have something that is pet safe, that your pets are staying away from. That way, when you're out and about and you're enjoying the summer activities, then you can enjoy them without the trips to the emergency veterinarian or your vet.
Well, you know, that's such great information, especially since so many of us have started with our own gardens and we may have tomatoes, we may have, you know, rhubarb, whatever. But that's really great to know because I wasn't aware of any of this as far as all of these, you know, these toxic issues with it. And as far as the insecticides and the baits and all that, I know that a couple of years ago, I had a problem with my own, an issue with my own kids, my fur kids. And we have a pet safe person that comes to our house to take care of all of that, but our neighbor did not, and my pets got very sick. So please be sure that everyone check to make sure that if there are baits or anything out there, to check your yard just to be sure, because you may not even know they're there. They can come in from another, ours came in a rainstorm from another neighbor's yard. So you have to be on high alert in the summer.
Absolutely.
So, well, Monica, thank you. These are great tips. Thank you for sharing them with us. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
We'll be back in just a moment.
Hello, everyone. Susan Marie here to tell you about the award-winning three-book series, The Doggy Diva Diaries. It is a trilogy of heartwarming and inspirational stories about Miss Olive, a lonely little rescue pup, hoping to find her forever family and friends and a life filled with love. In this series, Miss Olive learns that it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, it's the kindness and love you have on the inside that counts. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online booksellers. And please visit us at thedoggydiva.com for more information.
Thank you, everyone. Coming up, now that you have a new puppy, what do you need to know? We've got some answers. Stay with us.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. This is a truly special day. Not only is it our show's anniversary of 20, yeah, that's it, 20 amazing years, but we happen to have an awesome dog mom who also happens to be my sister with us, a favorite and knowledgeable guest throughout the years. And for those of you who are new listeners, our family was truly blessed to share our lives with many loving and special pets. From goldfish, hamsters, bunnies, birds, cats, dogs, horses. And as sisters and dog moms, we are so honored to share this special day with you together. So with no further ado, I would like to introduce my sister. Welcome back, Colleen Gray. Hey, Colleen, welcome.
Hello, hello. It's so wonderful to be here again.
It's so good to have you here on such a special day.
Thank you. It's an honor. And I have seen your beautiful show grow over the last 20 years. And it's just so exciting to be here on the anniversary.
No better person I want to spend it with. Now, I thought, what a way to start this new, whatever we're going to call it, next 20 years with a very happy topic. Puppies.
Puppies.
So, puppies, and I want to congratulate you on your new pup and my new nephew, Cisco. So you have so many years of experience with puppies. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience raising puppies?
Sure. It's been such a joy raising puppies over the last 30 plus years. Cisco is the eighth puppy I've raised. Wow. Usually they join our family around 8 or 10 weeks old, and they are with us their entire life. So we've had a lot of fun raising them, and I've kind of learned a lot along the way, you know, from the first time I raised a puppy until today. Training methods have changed. They've gotten a lot better. And it's sort of a truly evolved process in the dog world. And, you know, as an owner who's been doing this, or as a dog mom who's been doing this for quite a while, it's been really wonderful to see. So it's a lot of fun.
I know. I live vicariously through you. We all know the importance of proper house training and teaching the basics, like sit down. But what can you share with us about some of the important, like, big picture things that help puppies to grow up to be happy, well-adjusted doggies?
You know, I was kind of thinking about kind of the big themes on what I've learned along the way in terms of some big ideas in raising puppies. And I would say kind of the biggest things are socialization, teaching your puppy to be happily alone, positive training foundation, and also reinforcing your puppy's trust. Those are kind of the four biggest things, in addition to the small things that it's important to learn along the way. But those are kind of the four most important things that I've learned. So the first of these themes is socialization. So in order to raise a happy, well-adjusted dog, I think the most important thing is to socialize your puppy to many situations. So if you teach them nothing else, teach your puppy that the world is a safe and happy place. And the formal name for this is socialization. And it means taking your puppy to lots of places, exposing them to different sights, sounds, surfaces, humans, and other animals, and making sure they're having a good time while doing so. And while oftentimes we get the first part of that right, meaning we take them a lot of places, sometimes the most critically important part is making sure they're having a good time. So the primary socialization window is very, very small. It's from about 3 to 4 weeks of age to about 13 to 14 weeks of age. And talk to your veterinarian before you do any kind of socialization outside of your home, because typically puppies don't finish their puppy shots until they're 16 weeks old. But because that socialization window is so short, it is important to bring them to or have people come into your home, sort of a safe socialization situation prior to that 16 weeks. So talk to your vet about ideas, safe things that you can do. But just a few thoughts on what has kind of worked for me. So taking your puppy to where you can kind of control the environment to a reasonable degree, like going to crowded street fairs or a loud party is not a great idea. But small social gatherings, controlled groups of children, well-run force-free puppy classes are excellent. Also, there are a lot of businesses that allow puppies to come into them, and like oftentimes hardware stores and other types of vendors in your neighborhood, just kind of call and ask before. In my neighborhood, Home Depot is a great place to go. You could stand out in front of a grocery store and have different people pet your puppy. Again, you want it to be clean and safe. Oftentimes you can actually put them in the shopping cart and just walk them around the store in the cart so they're not touching the ground and not exposed to any potential health risks, but they still get that wonderful socializations of sights, sounds, and people. So, and it's a lot of fun. So just kind of in general, if the puppy seems fearful at any time, move them away from the fear-causing stimulus and kind of let them take a step back and observe. Give them some high-value treats. Kind of read them a little bit and just allow them to kind of settle down. You don't want to overwhelm them, and you want to make sure that they do have that really good association. So just kind of ease them into it. And again, make sure that it's a good experience for them. That's the goal here.
Okay.
The second item that we're going to touch on is teaching the puppy to be happily alone. So we can't be with our puppies 24/7 for the rest of their lives. It's just not practical. So when you first get a puppy, there's so much to introduce them to, you know, from potty training, puppy proofing the home, et cetera, et cetera. But one critical item that you want to start fairly soon is teaching your puppy how to enjoy being alone, because eventually you're going to have to leave them alone. They're social creatures. Leaving them alone can be stressful, but with a little time and effort, you can ensure they're calm and confident whenever they're by themselves. So for any of you who have experienced a dog with separation anxiety, it's probably this specific kind of process that maybe the puppy didn't get a really solid foundation. So here are just a few kind of thoughts and tips on how to make this fun and successful. So it's likely your new puppy has never been alone before. It's not fair to expect them to go from constant companionship of their litter mates to spending an entire 8-hour workday on their own. So what you want to do is set up a safe confinement area like an exercise pen or a crate. You can purchase those at Petco. You may even be able to borrow them from a friend. And from there, if you use the crate or exercise pen appropriately, they'll see their confinement area as a place to relax rather than a punishment. All of my puppies are in a confined space, whether they sort of graduate to larger spaces over time, but it's almost like they have to earn their way to full house access on their own. And oftentimes it's well after a year old, because we definitely do want to keep them safe. You know, that we don't want them eating electrical cords or anything like that. And also we don't want them to eat the furniture. So it's sort of a two-way street there. So what you can do with that space to make it kind of a happy place is first to feed them their meals inside of it. And if it's large enough, you can even spend some time playing in there together, which is kind of fun. That's what I actually have part of my kitchen blocked off, and we sit in there, we play with toys, and our puppy Cisco always knows that when he is going to be in his confined space with mom, it's a lot of fun. And even by himself, he's grown to enjoy it. So what you'll want to do too is have some special toys to entice them to make that a happy place. So one of my favorites are Kong toys. They're really safe. I actually, over the years, have accumulated probably a dozen of them. And I put dog food in them, some puppy food or some treats inside. I put them in the freezer. And then whenever it's time for them to go in their pappy space or it's time for them to just kind of relax, I pull a Kong toy out of the freezer, give it to them. They're very, very happy. And it's a really enjoyable experience for them. So once they're happy to enter their little confinement area on their own, you're ready to start the actual alone time training. So begin, as I had mentioned, by closing them in the confinement area with their little toy or other constructive activity, and then quietly walk out of the room, return immediately and reward them with praise and treats. Repeat the process, slowly increasing how long you're away each time. And you should be able to build up to fairly long periods. As the time span increases, return to check on them. Make sure to bring them some treats, you know, if they're being quiet and being amusing themselves with their little toy. But if your puppy's crying in their confinement area, you might have started the training before they've learned to associate the area with good things, or you may have left them alone for too long. So maybe kind of back up a little bit and maybe shorten the time, maybe spend a little more time in the confinement area with them and kind of reset a little bit. So those are kind of the things that you will build on. Also, a couple of ideas to help with relaxation and enjoyment is you can also use a sound machine or a heartbeat pillow or put on a little bit of music. Soothing classical music has been shown to increase the amount of times the dogs spend sleeping. Usually what I'll do is I'll turn on kind of an old school radio and put it on the classical station, or I have even used jazz in the background. And usually that helps relax them too. So just another little tip. So when your puppy's alone time has progressed long enough so that you can leave them alone for part of the day, but 8 hours is still too much, a dog walker can be a perfect solution. I would just give some thought to maybe a professional dog walker, a trusted friend who could come over, you know, a time or two during the day if you need to get back to your 8-hour workday, just to give them a break and let them out and maybe play with them for a little while. Finally, consider providing your puppy with a nice walk or a physical or mental workout before you leave them alone. A tired puppy is a happy puppy. So if you can get them out for a nice walk before and even after, that would be a really good approach. So it seems to have worked well over the years. You just kind of adapt to your puppy and see what works best. But those are kind of just some thoughts.
Those are great thoughts.
Yeah, thank you. And I know that you've worked on those too with your pups too. So the third item we'll touch on, which is another super important item, is the positive training foundation. So you want to find a well-run puppy class. You want an experienced trainer who uses gentle, effective training methods on their puppies and also the human clients, because a lot of this is about training us. We want the classes conducted in a safe and clean environment. They should have an understanding of body language and social behavior, knowing when to intervene if a puppy's being inappropriate with their playmates, and also make sure that they require presentation of health records upon registration for class. Because oftentimes these puppies are very young when they're in these kindergarten classes, and you want to make sure that everybody is safe and not exposed to disease. So probably the best thing to do is to be on the safe side. Once you have found a referral, to be on the safe side, arrange a sit-in on a class or two and watch the trainer in action. You want to make sure that they appear friendly and confident and competent. They allow for questions and answers. Each student receives individual attention. There's adequate concern for dog and human health and safety. The environment is well controlled and relatively calm. Dogs are handled gently without any physical force. The trainer doesn't require owners to do anything that conflicts with the owner's training and sort of their principles on how they want their dog handled. During playtime, the puppies are separated into appropriate play groups. And also, the trainer is respectful of dog and owner individual needs and training goals. And each owner and each puppy, they're different. You know, what one owner may have in mind, maybe it's competitive obedience. Another owner just wants to have a dog with really great manners. So it's important for the trainer to respect those goals and to be aware of them. Also, just once you get to the class, once you've figured out which class is going to work for you, expect complete chaos on the first day. Puppy class is a lot of fun, but there's a lot of excitement. It is not unusual for there to be an awful lot of chaos when the puppies are getting used to each other, but a good trainer will sort of help rein that in and still have a lot of fun along the way. So that's what I wanted to touch on with the Positive Training Foundation. The fourth item, which I think is super important, is reinforcing your puppy's trust. So after the puppy socialization, truly reinforcing the puppy's trust could be the most important thing to teach your dog and affirm to them throughout their life, because you are their advocate. It's important for you to not allow anyone, no matter who they are, to do things to your puppy or your dog that go against your gut instincts and how they should be treated. So if you're committed to a force-free, fear-free, pain-free handling and training, don't ever let anybody talk you into treating your dog badly. No leash jerks, no collar shocks, no alpha rolls, ever. Stick to your guns. There's always another way. If your animal care and or training professional insists on the use of any kind of force, find another one. So if it doesn't feel right, be your puppy's advocate, be your dog's advocate, and move on to another source of training or care. That's super important. So those are kind of the four themes that I wanted to touch on. And kind of if you employ those, however it works best for you, you will have a very well-adjusted, happy puppy and dog throughout their life.
Well, and that's very important. And I rescue mostly senior dogs, senior animals, but I have had a puppy that I did rescue and I had to contact you because it's very important in seeing your pups grow up as well as they did to find a good trainer so that the puppy has like successful in the training program. So what is the best way to find an excellent trainer who will provide a positive training foundation for you and your puppy is so important.
It is. There are a lot of trainers out there. Most trainers now use positive training methods, meaning it's, you know, they use treats, they use positive reinforcements versus kind of the more forceful training of decades before. But it's still really important to make sure that you get with the right trainer right out of the gate. So I would suggest, my experience has been, talk to your veterinarian. Your veterinarian comes in contact with hundreds of pet parents and also trainers and puppies and older dogs and can kind of see how these dogs have turned out over their lives. And oftentimes, because they are a trusted resource, they have these great trainers that they've learned of over the years noted. So I would say start with your vet. Another great source is a referral from a trusted, knowledgeable source. So if you have friends or colleagues who you admire the way their dogs behave, or you see, you know, how much fun they have with advanced training, whether it's agility or rally obedience or competitive obedience, they all started somewhere. And typically those folks started in a really, really well, pardon the pun, vetted training programs. So that would be another wonderful source, is to ask your trusted, knowledgeable sources. Also, you could look up your local kennel club in your area. That's where I do 90% of my training with my puppies. We have a Hidden Valley Obedience Club here. I live in San Diego, and I've trained my puppies and my dogs there since, I believe, 1999. So that was several years ago. And it's a lot of fun. Kennel clubs are typically relatively reasonable in what they charge. The classes are group classes. So if you want more one-on-one classes, you might want to go with a group that does private training. But typically, it'll be a lot of fun if you work with your local kennel club. And most of those trainers are involved in competitive obedience. They do continuing education, et cetera, et cetera. And it really is a lot of fun. So I would suggest just Google your local kennel club. That would be a really great source too. So those three, your veterinarian, a trusted resource, and then also your local kennel club. Those would be my top choices.
You just finished your puppy kindergarten classes with Cisco. Congratulations. And you completed the AKC Puppy Star program. What is that program and what types of things did you cover in that class?
Well, thank you. Thank you for asking. It was a lot of fun. Again, we took this class at our local kennel club, and the AKC Puppy Star program, STAR, S-T-A-R, stands for Socialization, Training, Activity, and a Responsible Owner. It is kind of the foundation for the Canine Good Citizen. And it's sort of an intro to that. And it's really a wonderful program. Although it is an AKC program, all dogs, all puppies are invited to participate. It's not just for purebred AKC registered dogs. Any puppy can join, and that makes it a lot of fun. So the training classes teach you how to best communicate with your puppy. They're organized training classes that also provide an opportunity for your dog to socialize with other dogs. And in classes aimed at earning the puppy star distinction, which our little guy earned, it was very exciting, you'll be able to get information on all of your puppy raising questions, including house training, chewing, and the most effective way to teach practical skills such as coming when called. So again, just a really great foundation. There were always about 15 minutes set aside for socialization, which was a lot of fun. We'd always say, when is recess? They would break the puppies into two groups, the larger puppies and the smaller puppies. And again, it was controlled chaos. So the puppies got to play with each other. And if there were ever any issues with puppies being a little bit too rough or sort of being too dominant with another puppy, because they do need to navigate that through life, the trainers would go in and sort of work through it with the puppy, and then they would kind of move on. So it was always a really positive experience. So in addition to recess, some of the things that we learned is to allow petting of the puppy by a person other than the owner, which is important to know. For grooming, allows the owner to handle and examine things like their ears and their feet, and the puppies need to kind of stay calm and quiet. They learn to walk on a leash. It's kind of very gentle training on a leash, but basically following the owner on a lead for 15 steps. You need to be able to walk by other people, walks on a leash past other people 5 feet away. They learn to sit, down, come. They also kind of see, we get to see how they react to distractions, and then also to stay on a leash with another person. So you hand the puppy over to the trainer, you walk away 10 steps, and then you come back. So again, that helps alleviate separation anxiety, because sometimes you do have to hand your puppy off to a friend or somebody at a restaurant or a, you know, some sort of venue where somebody needs to hold them for just a minute. And it's important that they're confident with that. And as far as the owner's behaviors, what they check on is it's that the puppy's health is maintained. So vaccination records, the puppy appears healthy. Also, the owner receives the responsible dog owner's pledge. Also, we must describe adequate daily play and exercise plans. So they would ask us, what are you doing with your puppies this week? So are you getting them out for little walks or playtime or playing ball, et cetera, et cetera. Also, you must attend 6 classes. You also have to bring bags to classes to clean up after the puppy. So we'd have to show that we had poop bags in our pocket. And then also, and this is really important, that the owner has obtained some form of ID for the puppy. So is the puppy microchipped? Do they have a tag? Do they have both? Especially now, the shelters are full, at least here in San Diego. And it is really, really important for a lot of reasons that if a puppy or a dog gets lost, the owner can be found and the dog can be returned to the owner quickly. So please make sure that when you do bring a puppy into your home, that you do make sure that there's some form of ID. And I actually have both. All my dogs are microchipped and they have tags on their collars. So definitely take a look at that. But that's kind of the that's the wrap up on the STAR puppy program. And it was just a lot of fun. We really enjoyed it.
Those are all great points. I want to share one quick story with my original diva, Sophia the Doggy Diva. This goes back over 20 years ago. And we adopted her when she was 2. And we brought her to class. And she actually had her own STAR created for her because she couldn't get past the socialization. She thought it was a big party every day. So we had our own graduation for her. She was separate from the class. So all of these things are so important. This is great information. I've watched your pups go from little bitty pups to full-on adults, and they're so lovely. I love them to bits. Before we go, are there any final thoughts that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Yeah, just kind of, you know, raising a puppy involves commitment and devotion to the little one's well-being. It can be also one of the most rewarding, fun times in our lives. Puppies are a lot. They come into our lives and they're cute and fun and bouncy, but they do require that commitment and devotion. So know before you bring a puppy into your home that there will be some steps that you're going to want to follow to, again, help them become happy, well-adjusted dogs. Rely on good people surrounding you. You're not alone. So just kind of reach out to your veterinarian, knowledgeable friends, and also have a lot of fun. It has been for me and for lots of my friends and family members. Dogs are just such a wonderful, special part of our lives, and just enjoy every minute.
That's so important. And I have to tell you, as your family member, we were so blessed to have that type of family where we were brought up with animals. They were family members, and it was just such a joyous thing. I know that a lot of our listeners live that way and probably were brought up that way. So Colleen, I want to thank you so much for being our guest today and for sharing such valuable and helpful information for puppy parents everywhere. And also for being with us today, celebrating with our amazing listeners, who I always refer to as the Doggy Diva family. And on behalf of the Doggy Divas themselves, Franny, Coco, and Fawn, a very special and grateful thank you to you. And it has been an honor to spend 20 years sharing unconditional love with you and your beloved fur kids. And we are looking forward to spending many more years with you. See you soon. Thank you so much, Colleen.
Thank you.
We'll be back in just a moment.
Pet Life Radio, the number one pet radio network on the planet, joins forces with iHeartRadio to put the power of your pets in your pocket.
Awesome.
Download the iHeartRadio app and rock Pet Life Radio on your phone, on your tablet, on your Xbox, in your car. Pet talk, pet tunes, and fun pet times. Pet Life Radio and iHeartRadio. Positively possum.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our Doggy Divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Doggy Diva Show. To find out more about Susan Marie and the Doggy Divas, visit them at their website, thedoggydiva.com, and on Facebook at The Doggy Diva Show. Tell your fellow pet parents about it. We look forward to having you join us again for the next episode. See you soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.